At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. The combat gods were good to us this past weekend, and we got a lot to get into in today's program. Conor McGregor is apparently fighting Dan Hooker in February, but there's a little bit of a problem, and I'm going to tell you what it is. Plus, Dustin Poirier has teased an upcoming fight, and Jake Paul has made Mike Tyson an offer I don't think he can refuse. But before all of that, we had a big fight announcement this weekend, and that's what we're going to begin with on today's episode. Bilal Muhammad. Okay, he's going to take on Rakhmonov. Now, I got to tell you, we had that wrong over here, didn't we? I really thought Kamaru Usman would be that hunt, guys. And when I saw that announcement, it was very interesting. Like, there has been a resistance to get Bilal in a main event of a pay-per-view. I feel like I don't need to lay the timeline out for you guys to prove that statement that I just made. I feel like you'll just accept that. Okay, great. Well, now that he's a champion of the world, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do? Put him in the main event of a pay-per-view. You could really load a card and co-main event, but what are you going to do? And this was an interesting problem to watch the UFC work through. So, all right. First off, I don't get to see the numbers. But I must tell you, I don't believe that. I don't believe that Bilal doesn't move the needle. And by the way, there's other numbers. The UFC had these on Max Holloway. Max was like an emerging star. And I'll just share with you, you're going, oh yeah, it's Max. We all love Max. Okay, great. But you didn't. And that wasn't that long ago. That wasn't but 3 years ago where I would get memos. And I would get and it would always have Max on there. You know, big guys on the page. This is when Anderson was still fighting, when Bisping still around. John Jones and what's he going to do? You, of course, got the heavyweights, Stipe and Francis and such. But then you get, and Max was on there. Hey, make sure you mention Max. And I even asked this one time to one of the top guys. And they said, no, man, we got numbers. We got numbers that this guy is coming. This guy can be a star. We admit he's not, and we don't know for sure that he will be. But we have this trajectory that other guys that have reached the top, and hey, this Max Holloway, this Hawaiian kid, man, he's on that trajectory. So, all right, that could have been more like 4 years ago. I offer that for you because at a minimum, I believe if you were to track those trends, Bilal Muhammad is on that same path. I just don't see anywhere that he's doing it wrong. And you finally come down to, hey, is it me? Is it me? I know it's not my fighting. I know it isn't my willingness to fight. I know it's not my ability and my successes that I find. I know it's not the guys I surround myself with because I got Khabib right there and he's the most popular guy ever. I know it's not the promotion that I fight with because that's UFC. Is it me? And that might sound simple, guys. That is a sales trick that ultimately you turn to. When the customer is about to walk off the lot, they're about to walk out of the store and say, hey, did I do something? Should I get a different salesperson here? I know you like the store. I know you like the product. That's why you came in. But now you're leaving with nothing. Is it me? Politicians have done this. Hillary Clinton, to mention a name, did this very well. And she asked a crowd and she won them over with that. Couldn't answer that question. And I'm telling you that because I don't see what Bilal could do more of. I don't see anything that Sean O'Malley did that Bilal didn't do. In fact, those two started about the same time and they had the same strategy marketing-wise. They had the same plan for what they were going to bring you aside from the commodity that is the performance. Sean is a headlining act. Bilal Muhammad's last fight was a pay-per-view headlining act. I mean, I'm just sharing for you. that I don't believe this. I don't believe that there should be a resistance on booking Muhammad. Okay, great. So now you're going to put him against Rakhmonov. You almost have to. Can a guy beat 18 men straight all by finish and not fight for the belt? Well, yeah, in one scenario, because as great as undefeated is, world champion trumps undefeated. And that's what Kamaru is. Legend. Guaranteed lock. Hall of Famer does trump those things. Undefeated with a whole bunch of finishes. But they didn't go in that direction. They end up going with Rakhmonov. But it's interesting how we got here, because some of the resistance of doing that is, can these two carry a press conference? Can these two carry a poster? If I put out my marketing, if I go around Vegas and I spend $10 million putting this on taxis and sides of buildings and billboards and print alone, can people look up and know who that is? And there's only been a couple of times in history, by the way, when that answer is yes. You know, you had Chuck Liddell, he had the Mohawk that was very well known. You had Rampage with the chain. You put Rampage on the poster, you don't put the chain, all of a sudden you don't get that same effect. And I'm just sharing for you, like, these things get considered. If we do put Rakhmonov on the poster, do we put him with the hat on? Do we put him without the hat on? It's one of these things. And so you need a good supporting cast. And when Dana laid this out, guys, this was as good of a fight announcement as I've seen in 2024. As good of a fight announcement as I've seen, headlined and capped off by a fight that was greatly resisted and thought about even doing. Yes, it worked. The whole thing worked. The whole card jumps off the page. You go, damn. I didn't realize he had so many horses left in the barn that he owed a date to. Because they are all on this card. And I did think when Blahal, and if you saw Dana's announcement, I'm taking for granted that you saw the announcement, starts with this though, right? He starts with the main event. I did think as he worked down the card, I was going to see Kamaru Usman's name. I did believe that Kamaru Usman would be placed there for the benefit of what if I need a backup fighter. And he wasn't. So we got that Kamaru one wrong. And it does lend to a very big question, which is, what is next for Kamaru? And I know it's something, by the way. All options are on the table for Usman. He's had one of those careers. He's had one of those careers and he's made that kind of money. All options are on the table, including he walks away. They love him on TV. He's got this thing going with Henry. He's out there. You guys that were cold to him have now warmed to him. He's more popular than ever. He gained more traction in a defeat against Chimaev than he did in all the victories that he had. Like, there's just some weird things with Kamaru that have turned out to be really cool. So when I tell you everything's on the table, including he walks away, but guys, what do we do with the fact that Ian Garry made the announcement that he himself, Ian Garry, has signed a contract? What do we do about that? And that is much more the way that this business would work. You get that young stud in Ian Garry, and you bounce him off an old veteran like Kamaru Usman. However, I'm not confident in predicting for you guys that that's going to be the fight. I must admit for you, I'm lost. I don't quite know what the fight is, and I'm watching this resistance to Blahal. My own partners of DraftKings have already come out with a line. They got the champion of the world who told you for 4 years he could beat every man alive. And they did everything that could possibly be done to derail him while acknowledging and recognizing his efforts, which, hey, we do appreciate and we do respect. We want other guys to follow this. So, you know, let's not make sure we're not too bad. And then tried to derail him. And he still saw his way through it. He has not lied to us yet. He hasn't hyped himself yet. He hasn't promoted or trolled or played around or been wrong yet. He beat everybody he told us he could beat and was going to beat. And now he's saying he's going to beat Rakhmonov, the undefeated. DraftKings says he can't do it. Conor McGregor put out a message, says he can't do it. Ilya Topuria put out a message. And I'm watching these guys pile on. And I'm in for it. I'm along for the ride. You don't have to like each other. You're part of this industry, man. You can do anything you want. You can support a guy. You can tear a guy down. Like you can do anything you want. Just don't touch him. But I am confused where it's coming from. Like, Blahal Muhammad's shtick is pretty G-rated. If you wanted to do it on a curb of Sean Strickland being the hottest, and then what? Like, Blahal's family material. Blahal wouldn't hug a girl in the ring after he won that was there as part of his celebration because he didn't think that that was appropriate. That's how G-rated he is. He's damn near impossible not to like. I got to tell you, I'm confused on it. But you just might get your way. You don't like him, you're on top of the bill. They brought in the absolute hardest opponent. DraftKings believes they brought in the right opponent. That right opponent, something special. But please don't act like Blahal is also not something special. Conor McGregor is fighting Dan Hooker in Abu Dhabi on February 1st. Now, that was the statement by Conor. Now, let me just... Conor McGregor is going to fight Dan Hooker in Abu Dhabi on February 1st. This is the statement by Conor. But let me just tell you the parts of it that I personally know that you shouldn't take literal, okay? That Conor McGregor is fighting Dan Hooker in Abu Dhabi on February 1st. You don't take any part of that literal, but the rest of it, it might be so. So did you guys see this? I'm trusting you know what I'm talking about. Conor McGregor running crazy over the weekend, and he was promoting bare-knuckle boxing. I got to tell you, he did a very good job. Like, there was not a clip that Conor was in. There was not a moment that Conor was in where if you're watching, something's happening. And that's a big deal in television. That's a big deal to grab viewers and then keep them. And a lot of you are thinking somebody flipping through a channel. You got to get that guy. And when you don't know what's going on, but you come across the screen and Conor was there, you would put the remote down. Okay, something's happening here. Let me stick around and see what it is. He did a good job. Conor then announces as part of the ending of this bare knuckle event that he's going to be fighting Dan Hooker. In Riyadh, I think I said Abu Dhabi. He's going to be fighting him in Riyadh, maybe even just in Saudi Arabia, in February. And that is not true. In terms of, that is not signed, but Conor's not pretending it is. Conor will let you know that isn't signed. Dan Hooker and Conor McGregor get along very well, it turns out. And I got that from Dan Hooker, who said, "We're cut from the same cloth. We always get along. We ran into each other in the ring." Dan Hooker was out there. He was actually backing up Oscar. Oscar was fighting Ben. Dan Hooker was a cornerman. Dan Hooker and Craig Jones, the leg lock specialist, end up cornering Oscar for his bare knuckle fight against Ben Davis. All right, great. There you know the story. But this is how Dan and Conor ended up in the same ring together. So when they came together, they actually came along. "Hey, it's nice to see you. Hey, it's nice to see you. Hey, I got an open dance card, as do you. I got a camera with the red light blinking, and I got a hot mic on. Why don't I go over here and put us over? At a minimum, since I like you, I will help you." And that is true. Like, Conor bringing Dan Hooker into this, whether they can find a way to get that done or not, it does help Dan Hooker. Red panty night is real. I want to be very cautious as I speak to you guys, though, that yes, Conor said he's fighting Dan Hooker. And yes, he said it would be in the UFC. And yes, he said it would be February 1st, of which does not even have a booked date. And yes, he said it would be a pay-per-view from Saudi Arabia or a derivative thereof. All right? I can't quite remember the place. And none of those things are happening. So there's not even a show on February 1st. They're not even going to Saudi Arabia and setting the octagon up on February 1st. But I do want to make sure we clarify this, because if anybody can turn a molehill into a mountain, it's C-Mac. It's what you guys love about him. I don't want Dan Hooker to forget where this came from. That, as Shakespeare would say, it's in the spirit of fail, hello, well met. Which means sportsmanship, working together. And the reason I say that is some of these things that become headlines, you start telling yourself, you start repeating it, you forget the genesis. You forget where it came from. And I don't want Dan Hooker to start believing that this is so. It would just open the door for, one, him to turn down a very big fight. Dan Hooker versus Justin Gaethje all day. Dan Hooker versus Dustin Poirier all day. I don't want Dan Hooker versus Paddy the Batty all day. Like, I don't want these things to be removed for Hooker, who, after beating Gamrot, is now the number 5 ranked guy in the world. Hooker has never been in a stronger position. He could draw into Conor McGregor. Absolutely. I don't want to happen to him what happened to Michael Chandler. So, I want Hooker to enjoy this. I want him to find this fun. I want him to get his headlines, always tell the truth. Hey, we were doing a little something there. Dana's not in on this. I think we can make something. Conor would like to fight. He says he'll do it with me. I would love that opportunity. But if his phone rings and they offer him something else, he needs to understand he's being offered something else for a reason. Without having any more information, I will tell you that reason now, because Conor is not fighting on February 1st. All right. I've said my piece on it. I like the bit. I love the theme for Dan Hooker, because he does deserve something big. You want to have a BMF? You want to get some real BMFs together? You better have Hooker's name somewhere in that list. Going on. And guys, I don't think it's a new policy. I'm just guessing that this policy must have been strengthened. What I'm talking about is the UFC has always, okay, and this is before my time, before I got over, and I got over there in 2008. I can remember Matt Lindland specifically, though, being there and having to deal with some of this, which is when there's an announcement, when something is figured out. This was Joe Silva, okay? Different time, 2005, 2006, 2007. Don't tell anyone. This is between us. I, as the matchmaker, am going to collect the contracts. I'm going to get these over to marketing and PR. They will then take a little time to put a plan together. And then there will be more time before that plan is publicly executed. Like, there was a system, right? And it was a different time back then. They were doing 12 events a year, 11 events a year. So it's just a different time. They didn't have programming every week. You'd have a contender series to help break the week up, where all of a sudden this is the number one thing on TV. It wasn't like that. Different time, so it moved a little bit slower. Company sold. Joe Silva left. Policy remains. But it looks as though that must have been strengthened. It looks as though like a memo must have gone out, because in the last 2 weeks, we have Rakhmonov, who had a world title fight, told us that he had something big, but would not tell us what. Ian Gary, who actually signs the contract and puts that piece of theater out on social media, but will not tell us who's going to be standing opposite him. Kamaru Usman coming out and saying that he wants something, and I believe Kamaru has it, by the way. I think Kamaru already has something. I think he's just been with the company long enough that he spoke in even greater code. Khabib coming out, speaking about Islam, saying we've got something. I think he even said it was January of next year. He definitely said it was early next year and they've got it, but he can't announce it. And now you got Dustin Poirier. Dustin went to social media, and Dustin does a very good job of communicating with you. It's one of the reasons that he got over as such a star. It's not just his fighting. He also makes sure he communicates with you. And he will do it in 160 characters or less. And sometimes it's really hard to figure out what he's saying. I mean, sometimes he codes it so much, or then you got to like read the emojis and go, okay, what's he trying to say here? And my sense on Dustin is that he also has a fight. Well, as a matter of fact, guys, he came out and said, fight news coming soon. But this was on the back end of some callouts. And Dustin Poirier 1 week ago called for a tournament that he thinks is already kicking off, which is going to be Max and Ilya. He's then saying the other semifinal in the tournament should be himself and Justin Gaethje, and that the winners should collide, which, by the way, the BMF is still out there. And technically, regardless of what happens, in Max's fight with Ilya will still be around Max's waist. So it seems like Dustin's kind of taking us in an interesting direction. And there's not much of a way to break down the layout of the tournament that he suggested, understanding that Ilya and Max are already signed. There's no way to take his suggestion of a tournament of anything less than a call out of Justin Gaethje. I just don't know if you can get Dustin and Justin together for that level of bludgeoning by making it a lesser fight than their previous one was. I mean, don't forget that. Their previous fight was not only a main event of a pay-per-view, it was for a title. So it's the only reason I'm not predicting for it, because I understand where that fight makes perfect sense. I can't quite get there. You then would have Dustin versus, and you got to understand, Dustin's last fight is very complicated because you're still running a business. You still have a show. You still have a paradigm that you're trying to operate within. And featuring a guy on his way out is just not the way that's been done. You're not going to be able to give me an example around that. In fact, the only main event that I can think of off the top of my head where we knew he was saying goodbye was Anderson's final fight. But if you'll recall, that was not on pay-per-view. It was a little bit different, right, guys? So, but this is Dustin Poirier. It's something special. The rules and the paradigm can be broken for a guy that has found a way around them. So, Dan Hooker is where I'm going with that. I think that Dan Hooker versus Dustin Poirier has legs. I think it makes sense. Dustin has been very open to letting everybody know you can choose the opponent and you got two weight classes to do it, because he will go up to 170, no problem. But the usual suspects of Colby Covington, which would be an amazing match that, by the way, would fit all your parameters. And so would Justin Gaethje, which is the most likely the direction that they are going. I'm just arguing in front of that. And you want to know something else? I'm not sure Paddy the Batty should be off the board. I'm not sure that he should. Paddy the Batty is two fights away from fighting for a world championship if they go his way. Now, they need to be the right two fights, but he's two fights away from being in for the strap. And one of them is going to have to be a big name and a stud. Do you want to do that to Paddy on his way out? Highly unlikely, but I would keep it on the table, and I will let you know. Justin Gaethje is the... But let's push Justin aside, because Dan Hooker also fits that criteria. Their first fight, Gaethje versus Hooker, is one of the great fights to ever happen. It's one of the great fights of the weight class. It produced two of the greatest rounds that have ever been fought. But it wasn't supposed to do those things. So it wasn't the most highly rated and highly watched, even though it was a main event. It was a non-pay-per-view and it was kind of stuck over here. And I even remember when it happened because it was still daylight out. Like I think it was one of those fights that happened at a weird time of the day on top of everything else. It wasn't supposed to be as great as it was. And there is good reason where they would revisit that for Justin's way out. But I will tell you this, if you were a betting man, you would be very wise to bet and handicap that Poirier does, in fact, have a fight. That there is news coming out soon. And you're safest to bet that that's against Gaethje. Just remember, you heard that here first. The Hangman versus the Diamond cannot quickly be dismissed. It's official. We are in fall. Guys, it is the busiest and best time of the year for team sports and sports fans. Look, you got the NFL, you got college football, you got NHL and MLB postseason. Don't be left out of the season by trying to run your e-commerce business all on your own. Let me introduce you to the perfect teammate, Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret that with Shop Pay, you can boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and you're going to get more sales. Businesses that sell more simply sell on Shopify. We use Shopify over here at Bad Guy Inc. All of our merchandise, and it will not disappoint you. I want you to upgrade your business. I want you to sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/Chael. That's Shopify.com/Chael, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Chael to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Chael. It's official. We are in fall. Guys, it is the busiest and best time of the year for team sports and sports fans. Look, you got the NFL. You got college football. You got NHL and MLB postseason. Don't be left out of the season by trying to run your e-commerce business all on your own. Let me introduce you to the perfect teammate, Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not so secret secret that with Shop Pay, you can boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and you're gonna get more sales. Businesses that sell more simply sell on Shopify. We use Shopify over here at Bad Guy Inc. All of our merchandise, and it will not disappoint you. I want you to upgrade your business. I want you to sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/Chael. That's Shopify.com/Chael, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Chael to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Chael. Jake Paul has offered Mike Tyson a bet. The bet goes like this. Mike, I will give you $5 million if you make it to the fifth round. So you got to survive four, okay? Just so you guys understand. But if you don't, you got to get an I Love Jake Paul tattoo. Oh my goodness. What do you think about that, guys? Because that evoked an emotion in me. That made my stomach uncomfortable. And by the way, I love it, and I hate it so much it made my stomach uncomfortable. I mean, how's that for an answer, right? How's that for a non-response by me? But it's true. It's true. There's a part of me that looks at that and goes, Mike, you can't turn that down. We need to know, Mike, that you believe in Mike. We need to know that you're out there to beat this man, to damage this man, to stop this man, like old ferocious Mike Tyson would do. We've got to know it's not a cash grab. And boy, taking that bet, you'd let us know. You'd let us know, all right. The other side, okay, and things are very much in Mike's favor. A number of you think that Mike is going to win. A number think that he is going to stop him. He is going to trash him. He doesn't have to do any of those things. He just got to get to the fifth round. He could be beaten to a pulp. He just got to get to the fifth round. Pin me, pay me. So, what if Mike was sitting there in the chair? They would film it. Of course they would film it. It'd become a social media thing. Mike would think it was cool. He would think it was funny. Look at me. I'm a man of my word. And he's getting an I Love Jake Paul tattoo. No, there's nothing cool about that. There's nothing remotely short of humiliating about that. And it's not the first time. Jake Paul's done the tattoo bet, guys, how many times? I only know of one taker. I believe Tommy Fury took the bet, but then ended up winning the fight, and I could even have that run. But Jake Paul has offered. He's made this challenge. He made it to Nate Diaz. He's made Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley did it. He lost the bet. He went and did it. And I'm just sharing with you, Tyron's a younger guy, and Tyron's kind of hip. He had a little piece on TMZ. He was embracing the digital era. Mike Tyson didn't live through any of that. Mike Tyson cannot go get a tattoo and then have this out on Instagram smiling and thinking, oh, shucks, this sure is fun. He can't do that. That makes me uncomfortable. Have you ever heard of somebody else's bet, but it brings an emotion on you? Okay, it's not even legal in court. It's called standing. You must have standing in a matter. What does that mean? Well, it means your neighbor runs into another neighbor and he drives away. He did a hit and run. You don't get to file a lawsuit. You don't get to say it's a crime and I can prove it's a crime and therefore I get money. You would have no standing in the matter. I have no standing. I don't got to pay Mike. I don't got to go get the tattoo. I don't have to film it. I don't have to talk to you guys about it. And it's got... I'm feeling something. I'm just wondering if you guys are. I mean, this is very effective. Hey, they're going to forget about what you do. They're going to forget about what you say. They're not going to forget how you made them feel. This is a very effective thing for me. I'm genuinely and sincerely asking. I want to see in your comments, do you feel something? Do you feel something towards this bet? What if the bet's accepted? I hope it's not. I hope it's not. My stomach feeling is stronger towards this is awkward. But I do want to know. I do want to know what Mike's response is. Mike lived in Las Vegas for many years. You just walk away from a bet. You don't welch on a bet. It's a big deal what he says. If he doesn't take the bet, he's going to have a follow-up question of why. It's not a straight-line bet. You don't have to beat him. You just have to not get KO'd and or TKO'd prior to the fifth round, of which are 2 minutes apiece. 8 minutes. Jake Paul has $5 million that says the most ferocious boxer of all time cannot stay with him for 8 minutes. Nate Diaz stayed with him, and those were 3 minute rounds, weren't they? They did all eight of them, 24 minutes. Tyson Fury's little brother, Will, he went with him, even found a way to win. I believe that was 8 rounds. I could be wrong, though, when it was 10. I mean, that's better part of half an hour. So, I mean, just by proxy of that, just by the elimination of backwards working math, it means that Nate Diaz gets Tyson out of there. It means Will Fury gets Tyson out of there. Do you believe those things? I mean, are you confident in those things? Are you confident that you would bet those things? You got the opportunity on DraftKings right now. It's good money. It's a better deal. It's 2-to-1 odds. That's a better deal than what Jake Paul is putting out. Do you see why it's important we have an answer? Have I proven my point? Okay. This is really good work by Jake Paul. I don't know if I speak to Mike that way, by the way. Mike Tyson came out and said, nobody's ever spoke to me or about me the way Chael Sonnen has spoke about me. I don't know if I would say that. I don't know if I would even challenge him that. I don't know. There's something about it. And it was very effective by Jake Paul. And it's not the first time. Jake Paul has done this before. I've never talked about it. It didn't have the same effect. It didn't create the same feeling. It's the same thing. Getting ready to go and do the same thing, a boxing match that people says he doesn't belong in, and he doesn't even take it serious, and he's just out there for attention. This is what all the things they said about Jake Paul. They're not saying those things anymore. And now they're already ready to pat a fall for Iron Mike. Talking about, oh, it's a cash grab, and he's not serious, and he's older. Nah, you know what? I don't understand those things. I don't understand the prime. I don't understand where the audience has to come back and say in his prime, well, he's not in his prime. He's not. I don't understand what you're talking about with prime. Is he competing or not? It's all on the line. There's no, I could have done it last week. I mean, could you imagine that at anything real in life? Anything where a guy comes to rob you with your girl, he comes to rob you, and you got to tell him, oh, man, this was a year ago, as you're taking the watch off and you're handing him your shoes. Man, if this was 3 years ago, boy, I'd be taking your watch off and taking the jacket off in your hand. I mean, could you even imagine? Two countries are going to go to war, and you start talking about what your military could have done back in the day when they had horses and batons. I mean, it's weird. It's a weird thing. Are you competing or not? It's all on the line. All of it. All the time. All chips are in. And Jake Paul told Mike Tyson, make it to the fifth round. Survive 4. I'll give you $5 million. Or you got to get a tattoo. And we know Jake's serious. Jake's got to pay. We'll hold him to it. Because he's already done the bet, and he won. And that guy went and got the tattoo. Jake held him to the standard of we had a bet, which means we all would hold Jake to that. I believe he would hold himself to it. But that was called into question. It was called into question by John Fury. John Fury came out and said, we had a bet with you, and you owe my son the money. You had a bet. You gave us your word. Now, if I'm an arbitrator of that, I don't believe that John has that correct. I heard what Jake Paul said. And Jake Paul said what John Fury says that he said. I never heard Junior accept it. I mean, you walk up, the dice are coming out, you yell 50 on the field. If the pit boss yells the word bet, you got action. If he doesn't, you don't. I mean, there's rules to it. And I'm only sharing that with you. Like, I do think that Jake is very serious, but I think that these are serious characters. We're not going to play $5 million. Not if we're playing for a tattoo. You're going to have to write the check. Will Fleury called his integrity into question. I'm telling you, he's an arbitrator. I never heard Will accept the bet. And I think Jake paid him. I think just for John Fury going out and doing that, and Jake being a man of honor, I would pay that debt. I would not want somebody saying, Chill doesn't pay his bills. It would bother me. And John Fury quit talking about it. I think Paul paid him. I would be curious about that. I'd be very curious about that. But for right now, do you want Tyson to accept? Do you want Tyson to ignore? Do you want Tyson to deny? Or you do have a fourth option. Would you like Tyson to counter? Rainier? Am I saying Rainier right, guys? He's the new signee. You know who he is. He double champion over from one. Total stud. Total stud, and I don't want to be condescending and get his name wrong, but it reads kind of interesting, and I haven't heard Bruce Buffer say it yet, so I'm going to go with Rainier. And he said, I got more attention signing with the UFC than I did winning two championships in one. I wish he wouldn't have done that. Now, I can't totally be happy. If you've signed with the UFC, you are now with the UFC. You come out, you put them over. And that, he succeeded. He put them over. But you don't bury where you came from. You do not bury where you came from. I went to the University of Oregon. Just for example, I'll use it personal, but I would never get there and turn on West Lynn. Just for example. You don't bury where you came from. And what you did in the one championship got you on television, it got you exposure. And even if that media and or marketing machine wasn't the same, if it felt different over here, you still got here because of there. Be proud of that. Be proud that you had two championships. Now, it isn't right to come out on the UFC's production and dime wearing one shirts and talk about, oh, one championship. You know, they're going to be in Colorado on the 15th and get your tickets now at Ticketmaster. They're playing a Friday night over at the same place where Bare Knuckle went. No, I'm not talking about that. But it's called homage. And you always want to pay homage to where you came. And it's not just an etiquette to where you are. Okay? There's a selfish side. It can look like you come in with a humility. Then it can look as though you're just being polite, but there is a very selfish side, which is the adverse to what happened now, which is, can we trust you? This contract is very exciting, and this tension is very exciting for Rainier, and he's enjoying it very much. I know what he's going through, and it's very fun, and I'm happy for him. And by the way, he earned it. This guy can fight. This guy can scramble more than anything else. His first time in the octagon is, we'll see how that goes. It's just a whole different experience. It's a whole other game. But his second time in the octagon, he's going to look real good. His third time, he's going to look real good. I mean, this guy is going to be a title contender. I'm telling you this right now. He's a very special fighter. But as exciting as that contract is to get, there's going to be a day where it's no longer exciting. Anything, no matter how wonderful it is, running around in limousines and picking up in private jets and taking you to the suite of the hotel and everything, as wonderful it is, eventually turns into a job. And that contract is going to come up and you're going to want a new one. And that new one, no matter how many guys you knocked out, is not going to be as beautiful as you would like it to be if you don't have a competing suitor, which you're not going to have if you piss on them the first chance that you get. So we just had a gentleman, I was defending this guy, 35-pounder, 25-pounder. Thank you very much. You knew before I even say it. Thank you, Voice of Ryan. Ends up leaving the UFC. We fought for him over here. Ends up leaving the UFC, signed with, was it with Brave? And gets into Brave saying he wants to fight his way back into the UFC. And it's just, it's one of these things where he needs to be loyal to Brave while he's there. He doesn't need to build the UFC while he's there, but he does need to not burn the bridge to the UFC in that case. And now, more importantly, is here with one. This is their champion. If their champion got more attention signing with the UFC, he needs to understand and take some responsibility on himself. That is quite literally why they are independent contractors, so that they can go out and build their own brand, their own way. Talk to who they want. Talk in the way that they want. Where? What it is they choose. Get that gimmick out, and then we come bring you in. No different than the camera crew or the writers or the production or the hair and makeup. We're going to go and seek the absolute best. So if you are the champion, that means you're given every opportunity. That means you are given TV time to get that message out. That means you got that big shiny belt. That means you're going to come into the press conferences. That means the artwork and the digital, you're going to be part of it. That's built-in mechanisms. And if you're a champion, not once, but twice, and now you get everything I just stated and double, and you got more from some other company's press release, you are the one that failed. One championship, although they might not say it, is no different than Vince McMahon, who made this very, very famous expression. Where these guys would come in and they try to build a relationship, they'd be licking Vince's boots. And you could imagine, right? Like, if you're, you could see where there it would be a side of that. And Vince told him, man, I'll like you, I won't like you. One's got nothing to do with the other. The only thing I give here is an opportunity. That's it. I will let you make that walk. You will either get the crowd behind you or you won't. I will let you have action in the ring. You either hit those spots and work out good ones or you won't. I will give you a microphone, I will give you a camera, but I might not give it to you twice. The only thing I will give you is an opportunity. And I appreciate that Vince said that, because it's what everybody else is doing. But Vince was the one that found a way and had the courage and saw the wisdom in articulating it. So if Rainier had every built-in mechanism that a billion-dollar company can have that puts on an absolutely beautiful show, he has every single extension of PR and marketing and production. And he got more in a press release, which was done through nothing more than social media. And he was the champion. He was the guy on the poster. He was the headliner. He failed. This is a young guy, a bright future. Uncle Chael, we're not going to dismiss him right now. We're not going to do that at all. We're going to look at something. I'm going to tell you what my problem with it. We're going to go from here, and he's going to get a second chance. But what's going to feel like a snap of the fingers, that contract is going to be done, either willingly or unwillingly. There is never a time when you get done with the UFC. There is never a time, it is in your blood, that you get done with this sport. You will wake up one day, and it will be done with you. You want to have those bridges. Particularly if you're a champion. Particularly if you're somebody that they get their own Hall of Fame. Will be looked to. And they have their own announced teams. They'll be looked to. When they come to your hometown, you want to go to the event and bring your mom down there. Bring your wife to feel like a star. And they're going to bring you in the back and do the whole thing and put you in the fancy seats. You want to make sure that you get to be part of that. Do not get somewhere where you were given the opportunity that everyone else wanted. Don't get there and then turn and put all the blame on them. They would have every right to put that same blame on you, and they haven't done it. Because it's rude. All right, everybody, that's it for today's program. I have had it with you all, but thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed the episode, why don't you leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or submit a rating on Spotify and give me a little credit for it. I'm going to be back for more on Friday, guys. I appreciate the time. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.